Varsity Sports Podcast fans, and welcome back to our first milestone edition of the Almost Varsity Sports Podcast. I, as always, am one of your hosts, Not So Little John, joined by my lovely colleague, Angel Steve 89.
What's up, everybody? Episode 10, double digits. Two hands needed. We're going to start counting on toes now.
This is a big deal. I feel like 10... The fact that we got through five was impressive. Now we doubled that.
Yeah, I mean, we're a couple months into it now. Our little one-time side project seems to be working out a little bit. So appreciate to all the fans that have been sticking with us through any technical difficulties in the past. And hopefully we're getting better and better. And the quality is going up as well as the quantity. So this is it's going good. Let's
We'll see if the quality is actually going
after we
play this back.
We have no idea until the end. And then by that time, it's 1 a.m. and I'm tired and I just post it.
And we just upload it.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You can read some articles on the site.
All right. So jump right into it. We have to start off with the Chicago Cubs finally breaking the curse of 108 years and taking the World Series over the Cleveland Indians in an epic Game 7. I mean, that was more than you could ask for. It was everything plus some. It ups, downs, rain. It was perfect. It was Major League Baseball's back on top. I mean, they had over 40 million people watching it. They were breaking records left and right, and it was totally worth it. That was awesome.
Steve, that was and I was talking about it while the game was going on. That was quite literally the best game of baseball I've ever watched in my entire life. This season, I was pretty far removed from baseball, and I was glued to every single pitch of, especially this Game 7, but this World Series, this playoff, the whole playoff series, all of the playoff series were great. The Cubs played amazing. The fact that they were able to come out and hit the Indians' two best pitchers, which obviously everyone thought was going to be a lock for, everyone just assumed that Kluber and our ex-boy Miller would come out here and shut down the Cubs. And turns out they end up giving up six out of their Indian seven runs. So
yeah,
you got to give it to the Cubs.
It was crazy that for like Game 7 and a playoff where everything was talked about, bullpens, the past few years, you know, with the Royals bullpen last year, then Indians bullpen this year, and then you saw that, you know, the two big Yankee trades, and both those guys gave up massive home runs. I mean, David Ross hit a home run off Andrew Miller. I mean, no way in a million years would I have said that. The dead center. And then, you know,
I actually walked away from the TV for a second. I had my phone in my hand. I refresh and I see David Ross solo home run off A. Miller. And I was like, what the fuck?
I was like with Raja Davis. I mean, Justin Verlander called it on Twitter. My coworker that I was with, who played college ball, called it too. He was like, this is actually going to be a tough at bat for Chapman. That, you know, Raja Davis is kind of like, this is what he hits. He hits fastballs and he likes to pull the ball. Then, you know, boom, rips one down the line. But that would have been the epic, you know, Cubs loss right there. That's, you know, I kind of stand by my article I wrote in the beginning, is that like we wanted the Cubs to win, but ideally we wanted them to, in our hearts, we almost wanted them to lose so we can go through this next year. Because I think the Cubs are going to be back next year. I'm not sure if the Indians will be. And, you know, you can't root for the Cubs anymore unless you're a Cubs fan. Like, that's over. Like, the curse is broken. You have to pick whoever they're going against next year. And the Cubs team is so young and talented that you want to root for them. So I feel like we almost wanted them to lose in epic fashion last night. But they flipped the script of 108 years and won in epic fashion for the first time ever. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't really know who wasn't a Cubs fan going into this World Series. Obviously, aside from LeBron James and the rest of Cleveland, but I think everyone else was rooting on the Cubs, unless you're an Indian fan. But like you said, not only are they going to be back next year, Steve, I think this is a long run coming up for the Cubs, which is kind of scary for the rest of the majors when they have all of these young bats and some pretty decent pitching, even though we may, the Yankees, as in we may end up getting Chapman back.
But I mean, they've broken through it now. They have this young core, and they have the greatest, you know, GM of all time, and Theo Epstein's still, you know, signed on for another 5 years, and he's showing with the Red Sox. He's not afraid to spend the money. You know, they did it now with Lester too. So they're going to make sure this team, you know, goes out and and stays there for the next decade. So yeah, the times have changed over in Chicago, which is pretty remarkable. The one guy that everyone's kind of mentioned that we probably should leave alone though is I want how much would we pay as like a baseball community for a video of Steve Bartman at that final out?
I would love for Bartman just to resurface at this point.
Yeah,
I wonder what happened to him. Like, even if he just shows up on a talk show and was like, "Hey, I'm back and I'm not dead." And I mean, it, like, just give us something, Stevie.
I would love that. I think he's in like Buffalo somewhere doing like weird like insurance claims or something, and just like, because they interviewed his lawyer recently, and his lawyer was like, "I don't even bring him media opportunities anymore because he just says no."
Oh my God!
So he has like no interest in it. But I mean, that would be. He should just come out right now at the parade tomorrow with a mic and just be like, "Fuck you," and walk off, and then disappear for good again.
You're assuming, like, I don't know. You got to feel like he's somewhat okay with this now, right? I mean, they won. The monkey's off his back. It's not all on him now.
I don't know. I mean, 15 years of his life just got been ruined. So
yeah, he's back. He's back. It was probably a waste of 15 anyway.
Yeah. So Bartman talk is back. The Cubs are here and they're good. The Indians, you know, they might be around next year. That, you know, people didn't really expect them to be here, but for the most part, that core is staying the same. But it was a great year of baseball. It's probably going to end the baseball talk here until free agency comes around. But they, you know, long gone are the stories of, you know, baseball's too long and boring. You know, no matter what kind of fan you are, you had to appreciate these playoffs. But it, not done yet is college football. We had a nice big week. You were down there in, at UT. You want to tell us how Texas went?
Yeah, let me tell you. If you guys ever have the opportunity, take a trip to Austin, Texas. Austin, awesome city, awesome people, but nothing really topped. It was one of my favorite game day experiences in general. I've been near and far when it comes to college football games, and this Texas game, the community, the atmosphere, near the top, unbelievable. The whole city was burnt orange. Very, very cool to see it live. And, of course, got lucky enough to see an upset. So we'll go into our big games of the week last week. Obviously, Texas knocking off undefeated number 8 Baylor, and another unbeaten went down in Stillwater. Yeah. West Virginia traveled down to Stillwater. We picked Oklahoma State and we picked Texas, and I told you they were going to win them both, and they did, and I forgot to lay some money down on it. but they both hit, so that's
all that matters. Except not really, but yeah, I mean, yeah. Those are the two big college football, you know, games to pay attention to. Last week there wasn't too much excitement going on. Michigan State held their own for a little bit in the first quarter versus Michigan, but then, you know, the big
Michigan
house
all the way.
Second quarter was just a travesty. Michigan State clearly didn't look like it. And then your boys Clemson had a good fight with Florida State. I mean, that was a good back and forth battle. That always, no matter what's going on with those teams, that's always going to be a good game. And Florida State, that was the win that they needed to kind of make sure this season wasn't a complete loss. And unfortunately, they weren't able to pull it out there, and Clemson squeaks by in another classic game there and leads us to, you know, Clemson getting a top spot college football rankings. And we have this is week one of, what, 7 weeks they do for the rankings. And, you know, gone is the BCS, and here are the rankings. So this is our first, like, you know, BCS rankings of the year. You want to lay down the top four, then we can talk about them?
Absolutely. Coming in at one, which was not a surprise to anyone, was the Alabama behind them in the 2 slot on the other side of the bracket were my Clemson Tigers. Right below them at 3 was Michigan, and the surprise at the committee, I was almost going to say the BCS committee, college football committee, laid on us was Texas A&M at 4. And it's just weird. I'll kick this off a little bit here and just say that it's strange for me where the playoff committee pretty much came out and said that their top 4 were going to be the 4 best teams in college football when the season ended. Based on these rankings and based on everything I've heard from the reviews of why Texas A&M beat out Washington, all the reasoning that they gave was because the schedule that Texas A&M has played so far has been very tough, and they've managed to survive it and play close in their only loss to number one Alabama. So what I'm confused is that you're basically using your reasoning as the resume put forward, but you're saying that we put the four best teams in. So I'm just confused about the whole thing. I mean, I know it's early in the season, yeah, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and like their loss to Alabama, I didn't think that was very close. I mean, they lost by 20. You know, Alabama pulled away late there too, but you know, losing by 20 is still losing by 20. It's a three-score game. Yeah. And obviously, the SEC schedule, strength of schedule always helps them out, and you know, for Washington, the Pac-12 schedule kills them, especially this year with you know Stanford not playing well and Oregon having you know their worst year. But they kind of let in that, like, we're going to do this now to give the SEC their pat on the back, being like, yeah, we got two in the college football playoff, but kind of knowing that this is Washington's to take as long as they go undefeated. This kind of gave, like, a little preview of if they don't go undefeated, this is kind of what we're looking at here. So, I mean, Washington was right there at five, and then Ohio State, you know, 1 week from their big loss is at six and followed by Louisville. And then, you know, in eight, we got Wisconsin, a two-loss team already there, so – the one thing I want to know is that
– now,
go for it.
No, my question just is, and I'm sitting here looking at the rankings, and I was trying to put this together as they released it on Tuesday night and kind of pondering over this and kind of gathering my thoughts before we did this. I agree with them. Texas A&M is a very good team. If Washington wins out, we're both in agreement that they're getting in anyway. Now, my question is, when it comes to the one-loss teams – Ohio State wins out. They're a one-loss team, conference champion. I assume they would jump Texas A&M as well and beat Michigan. So then if Ohio State jumps A&M and Michigan, I guess Ohio State now is a one-loss three seed. Because the Big Ten, Pac-12 is done. Not done, but they're locked in this year. Yeah, Stanford, Oregon stink. Those are your two powerhouses every year. Washington State's good, but that's not much to hang your hat on. And I understand everyone talks about how great the SEC is. But, Steve, maybe you can prove me wrong here. And I'm looking at the SEC slate here. I see Alabama 1, Texas A&M 4, Auburn 9, Florida 11, LSU 13, which all sound great. LSU already has two losses. Florida's got a loss already. Auburn has two losses, losing to Clemson in the beginning of the year. Yeah. And then after that, there's a drop-off, and no one in the SEC is any good after that. So I don't know where everyone thinks the SEC is that much far and beyond everyone else. But
I kind of tend to agree. I mean, one of the things that everybody talks about is like, oh, I guess some teams like Washington, you know, don't play any ranked teams and whatnot. I mean, when the push comes to shove, the SEC, like, they're all ranked during the year. But at the end of the year, you're looking at, you know, a couple teams with three, four losses. I mean, look at what happened to Tennessee. I mean, they've fallen off a cliff after possibly thinking they can go undefeated. You know, LSU and Florida, one of those teams is definitely going to have another loss. So those, you're looking at three losses there. So it's interesting. The one thing I was kind of looking at the bottom of this ranking is the past 2 years, week one, someone ranked 12 or lower was in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a cool stat. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was Oklahoma last year. So, I mean, looking at, you know, 12 and under now, I mean, 12 is Penn State. They're not going to be able to make it. But then you got LSU and Oklahoma. So, if you're looking 12 and below, who's the one team that comes back and makes the playoffs based on recent history then?
And you know what? My pick, the LSU Tigers. We're going to lead into that. We can do that in a little bit. But I think the LSU Tigers have literally a silver platter in front of them. You said from 12 and below, there was someone that got in.
Yeah.
The only team that controls their own destiny in that list is LSU. They got Alabama in front of them. If they beat Alabama and win out, they win the SEC West. If they win the SEC West and win the SEC, which probably they would beating Florida, then they're the SEC champion with two losses. And I don't see them leaving out a two-loss SEC champion.
No, not at all. So let's say that, you know, my statement there was called the leading question, so good thing you picked up on it. But yeah, so let's play that scenario. So LSU now is SEC champions. They have to be in because they're the SEC, and they just won the whole thing. But then you're gonna still keep Alabama in, right? So they're a one loss team there. You know,
you assume you have to.
Yeah. So then you're.
But now, where do you put that? It's a mess now.
It's a complete mess. Then you have Washington, Clemson, and Michigan.
Yeah, or Ohio State.
Or Ohio State. So I mean. you're creating an absolute mess here. I mean, it's a possible long shot, but it's happened the past 2 years. So it's tough to see, you know, looking back at, you know, in a few weeks when we look back at this, we're like, what the hell is going to happen here? Because you're going to be then looking at 6-7 teams that, you know, you think should be in there, which then, you know, leads into my proposal of what to do to make this better. The college football has been – the playoff system has been great. It's so much better than BCS. But let's keep making it better. I mean, let's make it 8. Why not make it 8? Or, you know, make it 6 and, you know, 1 and 2 get a bye or something like that. You're just going to have scenarios where teams are going to get left out. And I know that's eventually going to lead into, you know, teams 9 and 10 get left out and you want to expand bigger. Then we're looking at a 64-team tournament here for football.
Which, yeah, that's, you know, ridiculous.
You know, but why not have that? Because that would be great for all of us. And we'll just kill these players that don't get paid.
It's not basketball. They'll die.
Let's just do it anyway.
17-18 game seasons and they're not getting paid for it. But I agree. I would like to see the playoff expanded. However, I just don't see it plausible. I think it's awesome right now that there's 4 seeds and there's 5 power conferences. And to be honest, in the long run, I have a strange feeling that this Big 12 is going to slowly evaporate over time. I think from 10 years from now, Big 12 is not going to be a thing. I think there's going to be 4 power conferences. I think teams like Texas and Oklahoma are going to end up either ending up in an ACC or Big 10 or Pac-12. I think it's going to come down to 4 power conferences eventually. And I think you're seeing the Big 12 riff come now as they basically tried to expand and get better. And they realized no team out there can possibly make this conference any better. And their product isn't great. The top of the Big 12 is okay. It's not even that great. They're going to get left out of the playoff again for another year. What is this, 2 out of 3 college football playoff years they're getting left out?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, if that happens, you have a Big 4, I mean, then you're just looking at NFC conference, for example, of the NFL. Just make that the thing. You have the winner of each big conference gets an automatic bid, and you have 2 wild cards, and then, you know, you go with the bye system there, and then you have 6 teams. I think that kind of
settles. No, that I would be okay. That I would be okay with. I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, so I think that kind of settles, like, where the college football – it may take 10 years for them to get to that because, you know, they probably won't be able to find us on iTunes and give us credit for this great idea. But until that happens, that we're stuck with 4, and we're going to have, you know, each week we're going to go down the rundown of, you know, what's going on here with the playoff rankings and then discuss what's coming up for next week. So what's going into the next week's games, what's the big ones that come out on top of your mind?
I'm going to be honest. Looking at this slate here, I'm not super impressed with it, like, just the quality of games we're going to see this weekend. I'm expecting not a lot of big upsets. We have 2 big games where there's actually ranked teams playing. Obviously, I'll skip the big one for now. But Nebraska is going into Ohio State, which I think is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be way closer than people expect. I actually looked to see if there was a line on Nebraska outright because I think Ohio State is slowly falling apart and everyone sees there's a chink in the Ohio State armor. So I was looking for that, but as 17-point dogs, it was not available.
Yeah, that's a big number.
But yeah, the other big one is obviously the one we've all been waiting for. College game day will be there. Alabama goes on the road to the fake Death Valley. Fake Death Valley. In Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers as 7.5-point favorites. That's going to be an absolutely tremendous game.
Yeah, we'll hint. We'll get to that one in a few minutes here. But yeah, looking at the rest of the slate here, there's nothing great popping out here. You know, unfortunately, it used to be an awesome game, but Oregon at USC, I mean, there's no reason to even watch that this year, which is a little disappointing.
Unfortunately not.
And then across, I mean, Florida at Arkansas is just sometimes it's a good battle, sometimes it's trash to watch. So there's nothing must-see here. Then out west, you're going to have Washington just going to roll all over California. So
there's going to be some fireworks out west in that game. That game's going to be phenomenal to watch. If I can stay up that late, it's going to be great. My question to you before we roll into our picks for the week, I want to get some thoughts going on the Heisman race. And I was going to pose a question out to our Twitter audience, and we'll probably do it after this show before we release this tomorrow. But I'm curious, do you think Lamar Jackson is a clear runaway? And if he's not, who are his top contenders that are going to be battling with him? Because I think there are a few guys, Deshaun, obviously, Jake Browning of Washington. I think Leonard Fournette with a huge game against Alabama this week can make a statement here. Dalvin Cook has played great at Florida State, even though they're 8-3. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, and all those names are big. I mean, this kind of goes with the college football rankings thing that, like, the past few years, the winner.
This week's SI.com.
Yeah, that was me looking up college Heisman contenders that you didn't name. The winners there.
This is so you. I saw it and I was just like, oh.
But the one thing you missed was Peppers from Michigan that I was trying to get to before I was rudely interrupted by a Capital One commercial.
This week, sponsored by Capital One.
Yeah. But yeah, Michigan Peppers is the only name I would add on there too. Like, it's kind of, there's still so much more to play and so much, you know, big games that are going to matter that can steal a Heisman. Like you said, like Fournette, like if that LSU scenario plays out that we talked about, like he's going to have monster games to win those games. And then he could be the runaway guy then, in a few weeks down the line. So it's not set.
If he goes, no, I definitely think it's not set. And if you look at the Heisman over the last couple of years, it's been decided in the month of November. Baker Mayfield pulled away in the beginning of last year and then slowly fell off. So I think there's guys, Christian McCaffrey, another guy. He had a solid year all around, but obviously wasn't quite good enough. And my boy Deshaun, I think, might be a lost cause unless he starts putting up some numbers. But
looking at last year's, who the hell won it? Henry. I mean, we weren't.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. No one was talking about him.
No, not at all. Like, going into the end of October, no one would have put him in the top five to win the Heisman, I don't think. And then, you know, by the end of the year, you're like, holy cow, he, like, finished the year strong. So Heisman's one of those awards that kind of is like, it's more how you finish than how you start, which makes a lot of sense. But right now it's Lamar Jackson's to hold. But let's see if he can finish it off. And let's see if someone else can, you know, a playoff team can take that from him.
I have a strange feeling, and it's kind of rough for Lamar Jackson, but obviously kind of getting the short straw is the same division as Clemson. Kind of looks like they're not going to be playing for a conference title. That means Lamar Jackson's not going to be in the eyes of the public on championship weekend, which is terrible for his Heisman chances, would suck. But everyone else is going to have one last chance to impress him. He's going to be in the background hoping no one does.
Yeah, so those are the guys doing well on the field. Let's hit them up with some highly recruited, highly educated guys that are not so smart off the field. I'm going to the NFL for my guy. The Philly Eagles just cut him, so it's been a rough week for him. So he's got cut, and he's on our list. So, yeah, talk about a bad week. But I'm going with Josh Huff. He got pulled over with marijuana and with a gun. And then he's on this list because of his statement, who said, what NFL player doesn't have a gun? And, like, acted like nothing was wrong there. So, I mean,
it's a good question, but that's besides the point.
Like, that shouldn't be, like, the first statement I hear from you is, like, is that. And then, like, 2 days later, you put out the release, like, I really need to, you know, fix my life and get it together. Yeah, how about you shut your mouth the first time and not say, well, of course I had a gun with me. Like, so that's – so he's in the NFL, but he's on my highly recruited, highly educated week episode 10 list.
No, I think, well, this – segment will never be tough to find when I had an easy one point me right in the face. I was roped up in Big 12 weekend this past weekend, and obviously heard the rumblings of Oklahoma, Baylor, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and little did I know that Joe Mixon would get a parking ticket from a campus police officer at the University of Oklahoma. He then proceeded to take that parking ticket, rip it up in the police officer's face, and Bob Stoops suspended him for this week's game. And obviously it's not a big deal. Oklahoma is currently playing right now, and they actually just went final, but they beat Iowa State only by 10, which is pretty surprising because Iowa State stinks. But they ended up winning. I just don't understand if this kid will ever learn, because he missed all of last year because he punched a girl in the face. So he obviously gets in trouble, strike two, rips up a parking ticket. And let's be honest, how many college playoff tickets, parking tickets do we get in our lives?
they're not real tickets. You just don't have, they're not real comps.
I think it's all about the disrespect thing. Why didn't he just take it, walk away with it, and ignore it? Nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
But once again, Bob Stoops is worried about his character and how his team looks, and it's not a good look. This guy, very highly recruited, not so highly educated.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Let's hit him with the hot soup picks of the What are you thinking?
All right, and I'm going to try to be nice and sweet, short and sweet with these because we're going to try to wrap it up and get this uploaded as quickly as possible. Again, more previews, more in-depth, detailed previews are going to be on the site with our leans. Our leans last week freaking killed it, by the way, Steve, but that's besides the point. We'll go into that a little bit later, I guess. But going back to the game, Wisconsin's on the road, favored by 6.5 at Northwestern. I think this line's a little fishy. Wisconsin is one of the top 10 teams in the country, going on the road to a 500 Northwestern team. Northwestern has played good defense all year. I just think if you're going to give me a touchdown with a home dog, they're a pretty live home dog. I think Northwestern's going to be able to keep this game close, maybe get a junk touchdown to cover the number. But I have a little star next to mine to this game because I think Northwestern wins this game outright. I think they take down the number 8 Wisconsin Badgers, knocking Wisconsin out of the Big Ten title race, which they are still currently in. So I like Northwestern a lot this weekend.
That would be a big upset and crushing for the Wisco fans. All right, we got a big number for number 2 here. +28, Georgia Southern at Ole Miss. What's going down in Ole Miss this week?
We liked Ole Miss in the beginning of the year. Their offense is unbelievable. Their quarterback Chad Kelly has the abilities to be a superstar, but he's a bit of a head case. Wheels are coming off the track for this Ole Miss team, and I just don't think they're going to be able to pull this one away. Now, I do think they're going to win. I'm not saying they're going to get completely rattled, but Georgia Southern runs a very, very good triple option offense. They've always been decent. They can put up points, and Ole Miss's defense, the stupid Landshark defense that they've had the last couple of years, has looked awful against the run this year. I think this is going to be an extremely high-scoring game, one of your, like, 52-28. Does that even fall in the number? Yeah, it's 24. That falls in the number. I'll take that. So 52-28 type events. I think Georgia Southern's going to score enough points to keep this close. I love this game. This is another big one I love. I'm not calling for the upset, but Georgia Southern's going to easily cover this one.
All right. Another line you said might be a little fishy and you're going back and forth on here. We got previously talked about Florida State at NC State in the ACC.
This is going to be a very, very small confidence pick. In the article, it may end up getting the boot after I do a little more in-depth dive. Because I think this line makes no sense. Florida State's on the road to NC State, who just lost to Boston College, one of the worst teams in the NCAA, NC State just lost to. And they're only getting 5.5 points against top 25 team Florida State. It makes no sense at all. However, I think Florida State, I think Jimbo is a very, very good coach. I think Florida State, he was pissed off after the Clemson game. He went off about how bad the refs were, how bad he thought the refs were. And I think this Florida State team is going to rally around them. They're still young. DeAndre Francois, quarterback, is very talented. I think he's playing to not only keep his job, but increase that draft stock in the future. So I think Florida State is just too talented for NC State. There's been back-to-back upsets of Florida State in NC State, which is a sneaky thing if you're looking for it. I think Florida State is just too good. They'll win by 10 to 17.
Nice, nice. Number 4, we got the Missouri Mizzou at South Carolina. South Carolina is given 7 here. Do the Mizzou have a chance?
The Tigers are bad, but South Carolina is bad. There's no way. South Carolina is 4-4, and they had a huge win last week. Well, huge win for them. They beat a Tennessee team that stinks now, but it's a huge win for the South Carolina team. Everyone saw them beat this golden Tennessee team that everyone had high hopes of beginning of the season. However, Tennessee's unraveling. South Carolina is not that good. I just don't think they're good enough to be giving a touchdown to anyone. I don't care who it is. And now Missouri, 2-6, lowly Missouri comes in. I have no problem taking the points here with Missouri. This game will be way closer than the seven.
All right, and then the final one is the heavy hitter we mentioned earlier, back in the SEC, Alabama at LSU. We got 7.5-point spread here. What's going to happen with these two heavyweights?
Beginning of the year, my Almost Varsity Sports article had LSU as one of my final four teams, and that was purely based on how good and how ridiculous of a team this Tigers team can put out there. All the players are unbelievable from top to bottom. They're the only team that can athletically stay with Alabama in the nation. The problem was Les Miles was not getting that talent out of the team every week. They lost two games early that they probably shouldn't have. And now they're back in the – all of a sudden they're back in the SEC title race. They're going to be at home in a night game in Death Valley, which I've always wanted to be there for. That place fucking rocks at night in Death Valley. It's going to be an unbelievable game. I think these 7.5 points are going to be too much for this team to get – or out too much for Alabama to give up on the road. I love LSU in this spot. I'm actually taking LSU with the outright upset here, because I think Alabama knows they can lose one, and I don't think their foot's going to be down on the gas as it usually is. Alabama's definitely more talented, but LSU's got the home crowd, and Coach O has this team playing to a completely different level. They're relaxed, they're loose. Take the 7.5 points, and a little word of advice, I think there's going to be some heavy money on LSU late in the week, so get the touchdown and the hook while you can. LSU plus 7.5.
What a year for Coach O if he's able to pull this one off and get LSU back in the title race. That would be pretty epic for him.
If Coach O wins this game, he will get the start. He's got to get the job, right?
Well, I think at this point, you just leave it as interim Coach O for the rest of the year no matter what. And just ride it out.
You have to. But this team absolutely loves playing for him. Literally will run through a wall for this coach. And they've shown it. They've completely turned their season around, so – I think this is going to be a wild game in Death Valley, and it's going to be fun to watch while we're parading around Manhattan Saturday.
Very nice. All right, so that wraps up the college football picks of the week. Let's move on to the NFL homers of the week. The Giants had a bye and hopefully got some much-needed rest and look for healthy, so we'll start with them. They will be at home versus the Philadelphia Eagles and rookie Carson Wentz. This is a huge game for both teams. It's likely that one of these teams can steal a wild card spot in the NFC, and this game is going to be the deciding factor. And I mean, it's the first of two matchups here, but you got to get that first one, and it'll be huge for the Giants. They'll move them to 5-3 and put them on a nice win streak there. And then they got a couple a Monday night game coming up, and then the Browns. So this is a must win, I think, for the Giants here. So we're taking the G-men. Shocker, shocker. Right now it's -2.5, which I love. It was 3 earlier in the week. So we'll take the 2.5 here, and I think the Giants cover at home versus rookie Carson Wentz.
I absolutely love that pick, Steve. Giants are one of my favorite picks of the weekend. I'm actually taking them in Survivor.
Ooh, that's a little bold there, too. I mean, it is the Giants we're talking about here.
That's true. But I think the Eagles were a shell of themselves, or what we thought the Eagles were earlier in the year. I think they're going to come back down to earth this week.
Yeah, they definitely come back down to earth. They didn't look terrible versus, other rookie Dak Prescott and the on-fire Cowboys, who only lost this year is to the Giants, if people kind of forget that. But that's fine with me. NFC wildcard battle is going to be a good one, and this game is going to be super important for everybody in the league. Moving over to the lesser important game of the AFC, the Jets stink. They put on a good second half last week versus the Browns, but that first half of the Browns game, I was like, they're going to lose to the Browns, and the Browns are going to go 1-15, and it's going to be unwatchable for Jets fans. This week they're playing the Dolphins. I'm still one of the people that that kind of like Ryan Tannehill, and then Jay Ajayi kind of figured it out for the Dolphins running-wise. He'll be going for I think his third straight 200 game, which is bananas for this guy that could barely get carries the first few weeks of the year. This one's 3.5 right now. I would say if you want to buy that hook and make it a Dolphins -3, I'm on board with that one. I have zero faith in the Jets here. You know, they're Sheldon Richardson even said like he feels like an outlier in that locker room and doesn't know what's going on. They should have tried to trade him last year when they had the chance. So there's no confidence in the Jets the rest of this year. So we'll be on the home team Dolphins here.
All right. I'm kind of on the fence there. I feel like the Jets are about the same as the Dolphins. And I think in that case, I'd probably go with the points. But the Jets are so bad, it's hard to side with the Jets at any point this year.
It's when you just look at the teams and you got to like realize that Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, still could have a 6-interception game is probably likely. Then he'll have like a 4-touchdown game. But you know, it's a game we probably really don't want to pay attention to because it doesn't matter at all for the standings. But nope. we'll be watching rooting against the Jets as we typically do. So you know, just a standard week of us taking the Giants and picking against the Jets. So nothing too shocking here at AVS.
No, I mean, hey, the formula has been working. Don't change it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we got the rest of the league. You know, we're taping on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday today, and the Falcons just worked the Tampa Bay defense. Matt Ryan was doing whatever he wants and was kind of looking like an MVP candidate.
MVP.
Him and Julio are just. I'm gonna try and look up Julio's numbers real quick, but.
Julio didn't really go. I think he had 70 yards today.
He is 8 for 111 with a touchdown.
Yeah, that was close.
So that game's over already, and the Falcons with the win there. Any other games that's kind of stick out for you on a Sunday?
If we're leaning toward the gambling picks here, I love the Giants -2.5 and -3. I think the Giants are gonna get a nice home win here. That's gonna help. I just. 7.5 points. Cleveland's got to stay in one game, right? I mean, 0-8 team at home, the biggest team in the country, the hottest team in the NFL right now is coming in to play them. I think Cleveland, guns ahead, I'm taking Cleveland with the 7.5. And my one like lock of the week that I'm absolutely stunned that this is what it is the Denver-Oakland game. I think right now Oakland's favored by 1. You can correct me if I'm incorrect there. But I absolutely love Denver to run away with it. I think everyone's been amazed with the numbers that Derek Carr and the Oakland offense is putting up. I think Denver's defense is too damn good. I think they're going to – everyone knows defense wins championships, and I think Denver is going to stop the Oakland offense and get just enough points to squeak by there. I think Denver's an amazing pick on Sunday night.
Yeah, that'd be a good game. Definitely like a – hopefully one of those good late night games that we haven't seen too much of this year. And the Raiders have been better on the road. I mean, they're 5-0 on the road, and they've kind of looked shaky at home. So I kind of like
Raiders have been fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They definitely
Raiders have been fun to watch. And right as you say that, my DraftKings stud Cameron Brate has 4 catches for 41 yards. So Glennon is giving me some points here.
The one game that I kind of stuck out, the line already moved a lot on, is Lions-Vikings. The Vikings are home. They looked horrible in their last game. Their offense couldn't move the ball, you know. And then they had North Turner just, like, say, fuck it and quit as offensive coordinator. So that line's a mess. That offense is a mess. I mean, their defense is fantastic. So I'm thinking a real low-scoring game here. I mean, the over-under, I think, is 41, so I can look at that. But then – I think Matt Stafford's been playing a lot pretty well too. I mean, I saw this open at 7. It's down to 6 already. If it moves up at all a little bit more, I would jump on the Lions. They're 4-4. They haven't looked good on the road, but the Vikings I think are coming back down to earth to what we thought this team would be once Teddy Bridgewater went down, and their offense just can't move the ball with Bradford. Their running game, they started Matt Asiata last week, so their running game's got nothing. So they're struggling here. So I think points are going to be at a premium here. And I think 6 is too much to give to a team like with Matt Stafford who just throws the ball all day.
Could the Vikings be falling apart here?
Yeah.
Oh, after a great start.
They are. I mean, their last good game was like versus the Giants, I think. I mean, they beat the Packers, they beat too. But, you know, since then, they look terrible. I mean, that game was unwatchable last week.
Not good. Yeah, they're. In, I don't know that we thought that before the year started that they weren't going to be that great. They amazed everyone. The defense looked unstoppable, and now all of a sudden they're coming back down to earth. But yeah, I think that wraps it up for our NFL sneak peek of the week.
Yeah, it's it'll be a typical Sunday of us watching football and you know get some blowouts and then some football isn't fun anymore. I think that seems to be the NFL players' go to every time they lose a game. It's just like it's not fun anymore. Like, shut the fuck up. You're playing football. You know what's not fun? Waking up and going to stare at Excel 6 hours every day.
Yeah, rub it in.
All right, so that's our NFL picks. Let's finish it off with some almost. I got one here that kind of relates to an entire city, and that is to the city of Cleveland. You almost had us convinced you are might be a championship sports town that people are envious of. I mean, the Cavs finally did it. They broke their curse. And then the Indians were just a few, you know, swing and misses here, or a few, you know, if the outfield knew how to call a fly ball with each other, I think the Indians would be world champions here. And it brought back all, like, the Major League highlights of the horrible Indians, you know, fooling around in the outfield. They were fun to watch, but you almost had us convinced that you were a championship title town as some other cities around, but not yet. You only got the Cavs, but they're pushing, but not yet. So, Cleveland, you land on our almost of the week.
I love it. I kind of feel bad for Cleveland, but then I remember LeBron from Cleveland, and I don't feel so bad anymore. My almost of the week is the game I was able to view live in the Texas-Baylor game. There was a sneaky little over-under total at 73. So my almost for the week is the over-under bettors, well, specifically the over-bettors of the Texas-Baylor game. It was 35-34, and Baylor had the ball trying to drive for one last score. As you can see by the point total there, that's 69, four short of the total. Right as the Baylor quarterback dropped back to pass, he was hit by the Texas defensive lineman, who scooped up the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. I looked at the time that Texas sealed the game away with that scoop and score and sealed the win for the overbettors. However, the game was reviewed, or that play was reviewed with a mere 30 seconds left. It was overturned. He was ruled down, and the overbettors took a punch to the gut and lost that game.
I'm shocked we weren't on that and we weren't on the losing end of that, because that's typically how the bets that we don't tell people about are the ones that we lose horribly and don't even come close on. But that would have been a heartbreaker for me, and I would have been pretty furious. But
yeah, I'm miserable.
Then, almost there. All right, so that wraps it up for episode 10, the big X for Roman numeral counters out there. We'll be around next weekend, do it all again. Good luck to all the people out there.
And before that,
and
Maxion is back, Steve.
Maxion is back.
I think I'm losing.
Yeah, we're starting to cut off there. That's a perfect Maxion reaction. Is just you just cut off and the internet doesn't work. we'll see you guys next weekend. Enjoy the weekend and see ya.
Thanks, bye. Listen.
Bye.
Clear eyes, full hearts, get loose.